The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hi, this is Michael Uslan. You're listening to Batman on Film.
The Adventures of Batman.
Welcoming you to the new adventures of Batman.
Welcome to episode number 11 of Batmanimation, a Batman on Film podcast exploring the animated adventures of the Caped Crusader. I'm your host, BOF Senior Contributor Ryan Lauer, and with me is another BOF Senior Contributor, Mr. Javi Trujillo. Javi, hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Good, man. I am so excited for today's episode. This is my fifth appearance on the Batman Book Club, and I couldn't be happier to be joining the Five Timers Club.
Yeah, woo! It seems like you're having a bit of a mix-up like Garrett did just a few episodes ago, too. This is actually the Batmanimation podcast.
We're not talking Detective Comics 180 from February 1952, The Joker's Millions?
No, we are not talking about... We are talking Joker's Millions, but in... animated television form, but I'll let you take the reins of the comic book when we get there.
Can we still frolic?
Always. We're always okay. I mean, we're frolicking more professionally here with a BOF show.
Okay.
Batman Book Club is amateur hour frolicking. So
I know Peter doesn't like to frolic about in his spare time, but
he doesn't.
I like to frolic with my Batman.
I'm working
Batman's,
on
it. Batman's versatile. He can frolic, he can scowl, he can do lots of things.
Malleable, he frolics in every genre.
He can wear a zebra suit, he can wear a Fruity Pebbles suit. I heard that, Peter. I heard your Zurinar Fruity Pebbles comparison.
Yeah, it's like his biggest thing that he likes to throw him a Zurinar is Fruity Pebbles. And I say, don't you disrespect the cereal of bedrock. But we're going to talk a little bit about... Joker's Millions. Now this it's interesting to me, Javi, by this whole, I almost want to call it like a mess of Batman the Animated Series, the new Batman Adventures, the Adventures of Batman and Robin, all that stuff, because if you look up Joker's Millions, it first aired February 21st of 1998 as part of the New Adventures of Batman. So on IMDb, you'll look it up and it'll say season 1, episode 7.
Yeah.
Of the new Batman Adventures. Or is it the new? Right. The new Batman Adventures. Yeah, sorry.
It's the new Batman Adventures.
In which, for many of us, we would recollect that in the volume 4 of Batman the Animated Series that came out on DVD was the new Batman Adventures. So that's where this was located on the discs. When it came out on the Blu-rays, it was all under the umbrella of Batman the Animated Series. On HBO Max, it is listed under the, you know, Batman the Animated Series. The intro on HBO Max is Batman the Animated Series, as well as like on my digital and stuff. But I'm pretty sure, like, I feel like the new Batman Adventures was the intro on the DVD, but I don't really remember.
If I'm remembering right, the DVD box set let you choose which intro you wanted.
Really? Like
when you started the disc. So you could do the new Batman Adventures or you could do the classic BTAS intro. But HBO Max, I haven't figured out how they do it, because this isn't the first time we've had a discrepancy between like what IMDb says and what HBO Max says. HBO Max has this, if you're watching it on that platform, it's season 3, episode 7. So at least episode 7 seems to be the
consistent thread. It's episode 7 somewhere. Yeah, there you go.
But But yeah, it was like, it's, you know, season four or volume four of your DVD and your Blu-ray box sets. But I mean, it's,
we all know,
is it part of, I mean, everyone considers it part of Batman, the animated series, because it's all the same voice people and all the same producing
people.
It's
a continuation of networks. That world.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a new
animation look, but it's still the same thing.
It gets so messy, but it's funny because in releasing, so even that DVD, it was Batman, the animated series, the Blu-ray, Batman, the animated series, now digital Batman, the animated series. So in the end, like, it's just Batman, the animated series. I always think of it as the fourth volume, because that was my introduction to it, you know, of that DVD set, but I haven't put in that DVD set in years. I mean, I still have it, but it's tucked away in a box. But I have, because
thinking about getting rid of mine.
See, I can't. As much as I want to, or as much as I should, because why hold on to it when I've got it, you know, the digital code that came with the Blu-ray and then the Blu-ray, but it's like, I don't know. It was kind of a first love. Because I remember when those finally came out, and I, man, repeat. Like, those were going to my DVD player, and it was just nonstop play. With that said, though, Joker's Millions, like that fourth volume, was probably the one that I watched the least. Because as many know, and it's contentious amongst us nerds who have nothing better to focus our time and energy on, the overall look was different. The vibe was a little bit different. The stories were different for the new Batman adventures. And everything that preceded this, I think, was mostly excellent. I think the new Batman adventures are mostly good. You know, with a couple sprinkles of greatness in that season.
There are definitely some misfires in this series. Critters probably is one of them. But when it first came out, like, this was something I embraced wholeheartedly. Mm-hmm. I was
20. You don't have 21? To age yourself.
Yeah. But it, I appreciated the fresh approach. It looked a little bit cleaner. I really liked seeing like just the basic black bat. Like, I was really into like this new kind of year one look for it. And then, you know, fast forward 10, 20 years later, I'm like, man, I miss that yellow oval. Can we go back to the yellow oval?
Yeah.
But at the time, like, I thought everything looked really good and looked far better. And then now, you know, watching them now that they've been remastered, it's like, no, I kind of think the animation really hit its peak in the first series, the original volume. Like, it just, I don't know, there's something about it that gets captured a little bit better. But I don't think the new Batman Adventures ever had its own solo release as a new Batman Adventures. So it's just part of BTAS.
There's something, and there's something with it in its look that I don't know how to, it's almost like it's a little bit cleaner look to it, maybe. And that's why it's like, oh, there's, and like, so let's take, so Joker's Millions. I mean, the biggest big change that many people will criticize with the new Batman Adventures is the new look of the Joker. While yes, he does look like the Joker. Period. But there, you know, as much as is changing with the eyes, I think it was probably like the biggest. There was like some, like the image that I have pulled up, even his teeth are white. And I think the original, you know, series, like, his teeth were like yellow at times and stuff. And I don't know. It's like, it's a little pristine and crisp and clear, like, in these designs. And I don't know. And also, if there's something that's really great, any touching of that is going to be heavily criticized and noticed.
When I think of this look for the Joker, like, I feel like it's more sinister. When I just kind of picture, like, I have like this Batman the animated series book, and it breaks down like all the new designs, and there's like this maliciousness to way his eyes are just black triangles and he looks really sinister. And so that's what I think of when I think of this iteration. But in watching this episode, this one in particular, like, he's really cartoony. I feel like he's more cartoony And that sinisterness that I mentioned is not really present here. Like, he's more screwball and animated in this look than I felt he was prior.
Yeah, he acts a little bit more silly in, you said animated. I know. But, you know, a little sillier with these stories than he did prior to. Now, to go on some credits here, Joker is voiced by Mark Hamill, so that didn't change. We get Batman, Kevin Conroy, Nightwing, Lauren Lester, Batgirl by Tara Strong, who was new to the voice of Batgirl in the new Batman Adventures. We all kind of, I think, connect her with Harley and Batgirl now. Arlene Sorkin pops in as Harley Quinn. Let's see, Paul Williams as the Penguin, and Diane Pershing as Poison Ivy. And, like, you know, some of these voices were all like, oh, yeah, this is a carryover. Maggie Wheeler, which name may not sound familiar, but she was Janice from Friends. So there you go. Always obsessed with the Chandler Bing, who recently I found out is a massive Batman fan. And then also there's a cameo voice from Paul Dini, which I think was a great little bit in this episode. The episode is written by Paul Dini and then directed by Dan Reba. And I say Dan Reba, maybe Dan Ribba, but also he is no stranger to animation because he has director credits on Batman Mask of the Phantasm, Batman Beyond,
yes.
Justice League Unlimited, Justice League. This is for you, Ryan Haas, the Super Mario Brothers Super Show. So he's no stranger to animation there. So now the story of Joker's Millions is Joker is left. He inherits a fortune from a former rival who has passed away, but not all is not as it seems, as it was a major setup that Joker then blew through his money only to find out that only a fraction of the money is actually real and all the rest is fake, in which then the IRS comes in to get him for an inheritance tax. And as Joker says, to mess with Batman is one thing, but with the IRS, no thank you. And so now Joker has to find a way to scheme to get enough money to pay the IRS on the inheritance tax. But he doesn't want to show any weakness, so he's trying to do it like behind the scenes. Now, Javi, I have...
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
After the fact this was brought up, I do remember, because I have read it before, but I would like you to go ahead, and since you were the discoverer, you said this was based on a comic book. Now, which comic? You briefly mentioned it at the top.
Yeah. Detective Comics number 180 from February of 1952, The Joker's Millions. It the
written
script
by?
Is un- Well, it's uncredited in the comic, but the book that I have says it's probably by Bill Finger or Walter Gibson.
Okay.
With Dick Sprang's pencils.
There you go. Dick Sprang.
Yeah. So, because if you read the book and you go to the front page of it, it just says Bob Kane in the corner. No one else's name. But it's very much like that Dick Sprang Joker that you see in the Legends of the Dark Knight episode of this show. And is kind of the basis of how the Joker looks in The Brave and the Bold.
Yeah.
And because of this era, like, I feel Dini really captured the spirit and the wackiness of this era of Batman. And it's not really even a Batman episode, even though it's Batman, the animated series. It's a Joker show, pretty much. And Batman appears on occasion.
He bookends.
He's sprinkled in. But I think Dini did an excellent job, not just updating the source material for the present day, but, you know, whittling it down and bringing in new elements. Like for Harley, for example, obviously wasn't in the original story because she didn't exist for another 40 years. And instead of, although Dick Grayson makes an appearance as Nightwing in the episode, the comic is just Batman and Robin, as opposed to Batman and Batgirl and Nightwing. So it definitely gets folded into the mythology really well. One thing I missed from the start, and that's just typical of all the new Batman adventures, is I missed the title cards.
Yes.
They worked in the title really well. It's on a giant monitor, which I appreciated because it kind of harkens back to like that 50s era of Batman stories with big props. But I still miss those great title cards. And I like that even the animated comic, the continued adventures, kind of has some of that flair when you read it digitally. Like they have title cards like the old episodes did.
Yeah. I like that too. And it's really funny that because the opening scene, as it does, and it works it into the episode too, of you just get that giant monitor as Joker's Millions is being typed out on it, and it gives you like a beat, and then you're hearing the chaos, but then you start to see the chaos of people running, and it's Joker doing classic Joker things, and Harley's with him, but I mean, it plants the seed early of his funds are running low, which I think adds to this and is actually kind of fun and funny. So his funds are running low, so he's running out of, you know, juice for the flower that's on his suit, and he and Harley escape, but he has to eject because Batman's gonna catch him, and he only had enough money for one ejector seat in the car, so Harley's stuck and gets busted, and then he gets back to his apartment, which I think this part is hilarious.
Yeah,
he gets back to his apartment, and you have the owner, you know, the landlord or whatever, telling him like you're behind 2 months on rent, and he's like, wah, 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 you know, whatever,
Mr.
So,
Kerr.
So definitely lives, yeah, Mr. Kerr, you're behind on your rent, and like, then
he's not fooling anyone.
No, it's
and
but
you can tell in whoever voices the character, like, just she doesn't buy that his name is Kerr for like a second.
I think the biggest indicator for Paul Dini stuff is that it ends up being holiday themed in some way.
Yeah,
But aside from that, I think all of the character charms and stuff found in this episode, you can totally see like, yeah, this is a Paul Dini joint. Stuff like that of the landlord, and he's Mr. Kerr, you know, and he's behind on rent, and like the funness of this episode, which I didn't remember very well. I know I've seen it before, but I don't remember this until it started to play. And I'm like, okay, I remember like little beats, but I almost thought it was a takeoff of Brewster's Millions with Richard Pryor from the 80s. You know, I thought, oh, is that like the wink, nod, nudge? And then to find out like, oh, no. It's based on an old Joker's Millions story. So Dini classic, did his homework, doesn't stray too far from the source material. The same beats are kind of there, you know, driving the story forward. And I just think overall it's a fun episode, and the rule for the show is that Batman has to be integral to the part of the episode that, or of, you know, whatever we're talking about, and which he is, because I mean, his effects are felt throughout, and he ends up deducing, which caught me off guard in watching it, of at the Iceberg Lounge, you know, and the Joker wannabe, or the guy that's posing as Joker, and his eyes are different in that.
Yeah.
But then, and he interacts with Bruce, and Bruce, you know, definitely challenges him. And that's kind of what starts the whole foiling Joker's plot.
It's a little Killing Joke in a way. Cause like he starts putting the pressure on him. The guy starts to sweat and get uncomfortable, and then wipes off, you know, his makeup when he's alone in the bathroom.
Like, at first, it was like, wait, is this a Jack Napier thing going on here?
Yeah.
There's
also like a moment where like the Joker's spending all his money, and he's just like throwing it around town, like like they do a montage, which
classic, just the montage, you know, you got to get a montage in there.
The montage itself reminded me of the shopping montage in the Holiday Nights episode.
Nice. Yes. Well done.
But there's a moment in the montage where like Joker's throwing money around. There's all these people chasing him down the street, trying to catch money that's flying in the air. And it's very Batman 89. And are you caught up on Sean Murphy's podcast that he does with, Did he mention, yeah, with Clay McCormick, did he mention when they did this episode if there was any White Knight inspiration from it?
No, I don't remember that. I do remember something with Over the Edge inspired something in the White Knight universe.
The fake Millions, Harley stuff made me think of of Harley and the Harley that becomes Neo Joker. And I was like, oh, I wonder if he took, if he got like some minor kernel of inspiration.
That was
this episode too.
That was a fun beat too. So Harley, as we see from the opening heist, Harley gets captured and Joker just, he doesn't have the resources to bust Harley out of Arkham. So
I don't even think Ivy, he cares
or cares. And Poison Ivy shows because it makes headlines in the Gotham Gazette. Joker's looking for a new, you know, hench girl.
Yeah.
And then, and you know, pisses off Harley. And so then that's when we get like a fun little, like tryouts almost, in which that's where Paul Dini gets shot down as being the new Harley. And then, yeah, we get Maggie Wheeler becomes fake Harley, which is kind of fun in that regard too, but it adds the good punchline at the end that when Joker is captured and thrown into the back of the van, you know, who's in there? It's Harley dressed up as a guard, and you just hear the sound effects of her beating his ass as we go to credits and fade to black.
Yeah.
I like it.
I don't think the Wheeler cameo, like if you showed it to a kid today, like it doesn't have the same effect that it did back in like 98 when you're like, oh, that's Janice and how she calls him Mr. G instead of Mr. J.
Yeah.
But we also get like that fourth wall break, which it doesn't really happen a whole lot. When
which part?
After he hires fake Harley with his front page wanted ad, which mm-hmm. that in itself is just cartoony as all get out. The IRS guy arrives and the Joker's like dismissive. He's like, the hench girl role has been filled. And then he leans back in and looks at the camera and he's like, and quite nicely too.
Yeah, there you go.
And okay. Like keeps going on with it. But and even his, when he finds fake Harley and he's like, drown the kids and shoot the neighbors, we've got a winner. It's like, what?
Never heard that saying before.
Yeah, it's,
can't get away so with that much, these days.
Yeah, it's so like over the top and just everything is just heightened to the next level. Like there's no, like I think a lot of stuff, like it's so mired and we've got to be grounded and there's certainly a place for that, but you know, it's fun to have fun with Batman sometimes too. And yeah. This episode is, it's just, it's frolicking and it's mm-hmm. fun, you know?
Yeah. It's lighthearted, but it has the mischievousness of Joker, but I mean, it does, there's something to say too, that this Joker story is a little bit more of a lighter tone than Joker stories mm-hmm. from the original version of, you know, the animated series, which
yeah,
I don't know, but then it's, I don't know. It's just, it's an interesting discussion to have because you can also sit there and pinpoint of these Dini charms and this Joker is voiced by the same guy. And yet it's doing Joker things. So how could it be that much different? It's like, I don't know. It's just, there is something, there's not an ulterior motive in the sense of him driving down the road and throwing money out the back of the convertible to people. Like, yeah. It's not laced with laughing gas to make people giggle or anything like that. You know, he's just doing it. But then it's like, but that's also part of the Joker's history, is him just, you know, doing stuff like that. So I don't know. It's a fun episode. And I highly recommend that you, if you can, I mean, it's kind of a son of a bitch to track down the original issue, but in Joker collections, and you have it was a history of Batman.
Yeah. I thought it was in the greatest Joker stories ever told because I know I'd read it, but, and it's not on DC Universe Infinite, but in Batman, the Complete History by Les Daniels, that reprints a few comics. There's a Man-Bat Neil Adams story in there. There's Detective 27. There's the Joker's Millions. This book came out in 1999. I have a hardcover version of it, but I know there were reprints that had it in softcover. And it's Batman's complete history from 39 to 99. And it even does the Batman Black and White by Bruce Timm about Two-Face.
But that's a great story.
It goes through all the movies and the big different eras and the TV show with Adam West. And it culminates, I mean, it even does action figures. Like I sent you the picture of the two-page spreads of like all these Kenner action figures, but it culminates talking about Batman War on Crime, the Alex Ross book with Paul Dini, and Batman Beyond. And it's just got like some early concept designs for the book or for the show. So it's, if you can track it down to your library or used bookstore, it's a great resource. I've read it a lot. But yeah, it's got the Joker's Million. So you can read it in print that way, because I don't think it's been reprinted anywhere else other than you found it.
I found it.
Which book?
The Joker, A Celebration of 75 Years.
Okay.
So it is included in that. I didn't check to see if it was also included in, you know, the Joker, the 80 years book that came out a couple years ago.
I didn't
either
think to check in that.
But yeah, at least a Joker Celebration of 75 years is pretty common. You can find in places and it's included in that. So that's, I highly recommend it. Watch the episode first, then read the comic. Cause that's what I did.
Yeah.
And it was fun that way rather than flipped, because even though limited pieces of the cartoon I remembered, I was still a little bit more familiar with that than the actual comic story itself. So,
yeah, and it's an interesting look at, because like Batman, the Joker's gone through so many different iterations and interpretations. So it's cool to see this more frivolous side, because it's from an era where they toned him down because of parents and Frederick Wortham or whatever. So he's just really about getting rich. There's no, I want to murder someone or, you know, drive people insane. And Hamill does a really good job of capturing this more lighthearted tone. Mm-hmm. But then you can go watch something like The Killing Joke, where he brings more of that edge, or Return of the Joker for Batman Beyond. So it's cool to see the different shades that he brings to this character. And this is just one, you know, variation of that. Yeah. But it's cool that he's done it over so many different shows and movies, and that you get all these different tones and textures. It's a really fun episode. Light on Batman. Although you do get to see Bruce a little bit as well.
The presence of Batman being felt right away to the guy that's impersonating the Joker. You get to see the shadow and the outline of him first and then the rest. And I think that's like, I don't know. That's a good old Batman, moment there.
Yeah, for sure. And I miss Conroy's, his Bruce Wayne in the new Batman Adventures didn't seem as like, I don't want to say dumb. Just there's a certain tone his Playboy voice had in the animated series that he doesn't have in the new Batman Adventures. There's just a slight edge. The difference in his Batman voice and his Bruce Wayne voice is a lot less, I feel like, during the new Batman Adventures compared to Batman the Animated Series. And I don't know if that's because, we were gearing up also with Beyond, and where it was just more of a consistent tone because he wasn't playing two roles anymore. The public and the private side. But I mean, it's Conroy, so it's amazing. But I still miss, like, there's a smooth butteriness that the earlier Bruce had that Bruce doesn't have in this episode, like when he's at the nightclub. And I don't think he says anything when he's golfing with a woman and the Joker interrupts him on his golf cart, whacking the ball down the fairway.
Well, I think there's a perfect example, like what we were kind of saying with the new Batman Adventures, of there is just some some subtle and some not so subtle changes in making this a little bit more lighter in tone than, you know, it matches up with Superman, the animated series, almost more than Batman, the animated series, as far as like look and designs and a little bit light tone and everything. And I think Conroy's voice as Bruce, like you just mentioned, I think that's, yeah, that's something that you can tell is a little bit different. Hamill's a little bit different, but I mean, overall, it's still, I mean, it's still a good animated series. The Joker's Millions is a fun episode. It's not the greatest Joker story ever told, but it is, like, I don't know, it's fun. You want some light 22 minutes? Track this down most likely on HBO Max. I think that's probably the way most people will track it down to watch it.
So. Yeah. If you don't already own the box sets.
Yeah.
Which I guess HBO is possible.
Mm-hmm. Which I do. And I still went to HBO Max just because it was quick.
Right.
Shame on me.
Well, especially if you got like the collector's edition, you got to open the box, get the little pops out of the way, then get the book that has the Blu-rays out. Then, I know
the problems. Exactly. All right. Well, hey, that's Joker's Millions in a nutshell. So, Javi, thanks for coming aboard episode of Batman Animation.
I'm glad we got to do one together. Like, we've been passing each other, like trading off episodes. Who was doing what? So,
yep.
I'm happy we finally got to collab.
United. Okay. It was like, it's like Nightwing and Batgirl in this episode, but you know, I'll be Barbara. Sure. Why not? There you go. Anyways, before it gets too weird, why don't you go ahead and plug away?
You can find me on Twitter at Javi True or on Instagram at The Bond Is Not Enough, because being a fan of James Bond isn't enough for me. I got to be a fan of Batman and The Flash and Spider-Man and Superman and all those other things. And then in terms of writing, just go to batmanonfilm.com, where I'm reviewing Catwoman, Gotham City Year One, Batman versus Robin, and probably something else that I'm forgetting or something upcoming. But just batmanonfilm.com. You can check me out over there. And obviously on this podcast, Batman Animation, we've got a lot of episodes coming out. And be sure to head to the YouTube channel for Batman on Film, where Ryan Lauer and I got the privilege of interviewing Sean Murphy, creator of Batman White Knight. And we talk all things beyond the White Knight, which is a really fun episode. Give that a listen. He was very generous with his time, and he's just a really easy guy to talk to and nerd out about Batman with.
He is. I really enjoy talking to Sean Murphy. He's one cool dude, I think, as Grace says in Ferris Bueller. as for me, just go to Batman on Film. We've got reviews, interviews, posts all over the place on there, as well as my podcast that Bill generously posts, the Batman Book Club, to specifically track that one down wherever you listen to podcasts, and also on Twitter and Instagram at the Batman BC. So that'll do it for now, for Javi and myself, and we'll let announcer Rachel take us out.
Thanks for listening to Batmanimation, a BatmanOnFilm.com podcast revisiting the animated TV and film adventures of the Caped Crusader. Follow Batmanimation on Twitter at Batmanimation. Follow BOF on Twitter at The Batman on Film. Follow Jet on Twitter at Batman on Film. For Jet and Team BOF, I'm announcer Rachel. Batman on Film, authoritative, definitive, the original, established in 1998.